transmitting the treasures of our Catholic faith to your radio every day. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
And yes, welcome to We Sing Our Faith. Today, we are going to take a bit of a journey. And when I was actually planning this past week for Morning Joy for yesterday, my husband, Kurt, and I were like, what can we really bring to focus that would make a little bit of a difference in our lives, in our Catholic life, in our life of trying to live a life of holiness? What could we possibly share that would help us kind of bring that forward? And the phrase hit us, sin is not canceled by social acceptance. Have you ever seen one of those little memes like on Facebook where you see the little thing that says, just because the crowd is doing it doesn't make it right? Or, you know, that type of thing kept kind of resonating with us this week. And so I thought, let's take a walk down that road today. What are some of those things that we as a society have somehow embraced? And when I say we, I'm kind of speaking, you know, society in general. What has society accepted as the norm that truly goes against Catholic teaching, godly values, those things that are just right and good? And I, you know, it was funny. I thought, you know, with all of the focus too on AI and asking AI questions, I thought, I wonder what AI would come up with if I ask that question. So before I tell you what it spit out for us, I want to just give us a short little reminder of the Ten Commandments. Okay, these are the basic instructions given to us by God. And when I read the short little list to you, just those Ten Commandments, keep in mind there was no fine print on the tablets. There was no fine print whatsoever. It was just simply the first one, I, the Lord, am your God, you shall have no other gods beside me. Number two, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Number three, remember to keep holy the Sabbath. Number four, honor your father and your mother. Number five, you shall not kill. Number six, you shall not commit adultery. Number seven, you shall not steal. Number eight, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Number nine, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And number 10, you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. I mean, that's pretty simple when you think about it. Like it's very life-giving. God was very beautiful in the way that he gave us these 10 commandments that would help us to live in holy order, in social order, community order, things that we look at the good of the other instead of just ourselves, and then basic things about life, basic human life. So when I went to AI, I just did a Google search and I said, what are those things that have become socially acceptable that go against the Ten Commandments or against the teachings of the church? And I was amazed at how quickly it shot out a list. And I thought to myself, it's a sad reality, but I think it's worth having the conversation today, because when we consider the Ten Commandments and a life of trying to live a life of holiness, and then we look into our world and we see those areas that have become rather distorted, I think it's worth the conversation. So here's the first one that shot out was the respect for life. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. The allowance and the acceptance of abortion, assisted suicide or euthanasia, destroying or experimenting with human embryo. That immediately popped out. The other one that came right alongside of it was sexual ethics, sexual relations outside of marriage or fornication, adultery, living together as a couple without marriage, known as cohabitation, the use of pornography, deliberately using contraception to prevent pregnancy, casual hookups, or as it's said in our world today, friends with benefits. Wow, that's kind of a distorted relationship. treating sex as purely recreational rather than unitive and open to life. Wow. I mean, this one, when I give you that list and we look at those 10 commandments, it is amazing how all of that has truly become socially acceptable instead of being willing to stand up for what is of God, what is of our faith, and what will eventually lead us to lives of holiness instead of the opposite direction. If we go back into the beauty of Scripture, one of my favorite passages when it talks about being willing to not only live what we are taught, but being willing and ready to die for it, comes from the passage where the mother of the seven sons were brought forward to the king. And they were told, all you have to do is eat this pork and you'll live. And they were like, but we are not allowed to do that. It goes against the teaching. And one by one, the mother watched her seven sons tortured to death instead of giving in to what the king wanted. And her final thought when her seven sons were all eventually killed was, it was not I that gave them life or breath, but I am fully aware that the God who did give them life and breath will ultimately bring them into his kingdom. The faith of the mother for the ultimate life of her sons knew that God, when we are obedient, will bring us to such a better place than what this world offers us. And it's on that thought that I want to go to our first song today. And this was written by a beautiful woman by the name of Marie Miller. And it is called The Song of a Martyr. And as she sings this for us today, listen to the lyric, listen to the words, and think about how that kind of ties us together today when we look at the commandments of God that are intended because of his love for us versus us giving in to these things of the world that will ultimately pull us away from our Father, from our Savior. So again, her name is Marie Miller, and this is her song, Song of a Martyr.
Our freedom, he wants our homes. He demands us to worship a thing made of gold, but we won't. At the sound of his music, he wants us to dance and forsake our faith for the sake of a man. But we won't. Brothers, we are not so young to forget the battles already been won. And if we burn in this flame, turn to ashes came, we will surely rise again with the great amen, with the great amen. Our bodies will perish, our souls up our courage, the truth we won't shame, no we won't. Brothers, let us not forget turn to ashes as we came, we will surely rise again with the great amen, with the great amen, with the great amen.
The lyric in that one, you know, that death is the openness to new life. Both literally speaking, that when we close our eyes in death someday, we pray that we will open them in the beatific vision and the beauty of heaven. At very least, we'll open them in purgatory, where our soul will be prepared to go into the beauty of heaven someday. And in a living sense, when we can die to self, when we can die to those things in this world that is so accepting of those focuses that go against God's desire for us, what God knows is best for us, when we can die to those things, it is amazing how much more happy we live. One of the other areas that this the AI list gave me when it talks about things that are acceptable in our society that go against God's teachings for us and the beauty that we learn within our Catholic faith is regarding marriage and family. And divorce followed by remarriage without an annulment was at the top of the list for that. Deliberately rejecting children for purely selfish reasons or neglecting responsibilities towards one's spouse or children. You know, it sounds, it's very interesting when we read a list and when I talk about things like dying to self so that we can truly live a happier life. I mean, it's been almost 30 years of ministry for me, and many, many of those years I have served together with my husband, Kurt. And one of the things that we began to share when Kurt joined the ministry full time was being very open and honest about what we had gone through within our own marriage. And we could very easily have become one of those statistics of divorce because of a very large sin that happened within our marriage, and that was the sin of adultery. And to realize that we had one of two choices. We were either going to move forward in an act of forgiveness and refocusing and saying, God, we need you to recenter us to each other with you in the middle of the marriage. Or we give in to the thing of the world that says divorce is just the next natural step. And to see the fruit that came out of dying to self has been the most amazing thing for these past 20 years, where when we share our story of what we had gone through and to find those steps of healing, those steps of forgiveness, those steps of like really being reborn within our marriage, it was amazing. And so to go against the norm of the world that would say, well, you've been hurt, you might as well just get divorced. How about instead pick up the pieces, look deeply into each other and to say, where do we need to work on this to live? And I mean, it was amazing. And so the number of marriages that have been spared and have continued to thrive, like ours has thrived for these past 20 plus years since that part where it was broken, it's amazing. One of the other areas that it brought up was greed and consumerism, making wealth the highest priority, excessive materialism, exploiting workers for profit, gambling that leads to financial harm or addiction, wastefulness while ignoring the needs of the poor. All of that came under a title Greed and Consumerism when it talked about things that go against our teachings within our church. And then here's one, honesty and integrity, lying when it's convenient, cheating in school or business, pirating digital media without permission, tax fraud, plagiarism, breaking contracts or promises without just cause. Literally, these are the things that came up when I just simply said, what is accepted as the norm in society? And sadly, these things are accepted as the norm. And going back to the idea of life, we are currently in midterm election cycle this year, right? The midterms. And I'm already heartsick about the number of people who are fighting and demanding the right for elective abortion, euthanasia, and other ways of ending human life or utilizing human life for a commodity. And it breaks my heart to realize that when God gave us that fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, as I said, there was no fine print. It didn't say thou shalt not kill unless the baby in the womb is inconvenient for you, or unless you are somehow expecting a child that you don't want at this point, or an elderly parent who has dementia or Alzheimer's is now inconvenient for you to care for, so let's look at ways of ending that life. He said simply, thou shalt not kill. Every human life, from the moment of conception until the moment of natural death, is a gift of God, regardless of how or when he or she was conceived. And as we grow through this life and we come to that frail old age, I'm telling you, the time spent with my mother in her final months when she was in hospice before she passed away a year and a half ago were some of the most beautiful, healing moments of life. And she accepted her suffering. My aunt, her sister, the same way years prior, accepted the suffering and in fact thanked God for the gift of cancer because she used it as a gift for her family members who had walked away from the faith and for who she was offering her suffering. Every one of them have come back to the faith. And it's a beautiful thing to see that. And so one of the songs that I want to share with you in this first part of the show is a song that I wrote many years ago. It's entitled Mother Earth, the Father's Gift. And the reason that I wrote it in the way that I did is that there seems to be such a disjointed focus in our world where the tree or the eagle egg or the baby seal has more of an importance when it comes to life than the very sacred life of the human being in the womb. And so right now, wherever you are listening, let's take a few minutes as I share with you my song, Mother Earth, the Father's Gift, and we'll come back.
is the Father's gift, and the unborn child, the Father's gift. All our lives, the Father's gift.
Beauty of that, just the beauty of it, the baby in the womb. Also today, I just want to remind you that if you are watching on YouTube and you've joined us today for We Sing Our Faith on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe so that you can have more of this content on a regular basis. We have beautiful things to share with the Guadalupe Radio Network, as well as through the ministry that we share here with Carrick Ministries and We Sing Our Faith. And then, of course, for information about all of the artists like Marie Miller and myself, you can visit WeSingOurFaith.org, WeSingOurFaith.org, and there's a link there for all of the artists so that you can connect with us directly. As I mentioned, it is really amazing to me how something as simple as the Google search or AI, when I asked it, what are those things that have become socially acceptable in our world that go against Catholic teaching, that go against the Ten Commandments, and the basic fundamental ways of living good, honest, holy lives. And one of the other areas that popped up was actually, it came under the title of speech and communication. I thought that was appropriate. We're going to share a little bit about YouTube, and now let's talk about speech and communication. And what came up as kind of a norm was gossip, slander, detraction, habitual profanity that shows disrespect toward God or others, and online harassment and abusive comments. Yikes. It has become the norm. And as I said, right now we are in the midst of this midterm election cycle. And I guess maybe that's why the Holy Spirit placed it on Kurt and I this week to have this discussion with you all. And the thing is, we have ideas, we have things that we want to share. And I just want to ask you this, if you were as comfortable in person saying whatever it is you type out on your keyboard and shoot it back on a Facebook comment or some other form of social media, I wonder if, right, are we as comfortable saying it in person? And if you're not, then don't type it out and shoot it out there. And just because someone brings up a point, like I cannot tell you how many times I have posted something about the love of a child in the womb or respecting the beauty of human life, only to receive a barrage of these hate comments about, well, it's a woman's choice, it's her right, it's her this, it's her that, and don't ever take away our right for abortion. When what we're saying is, don't take away my right to break the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. That's what we're saying. But it's uncomfortable to say that. It's very uncomfortable to say the word, I want the right to kill my baby, versus I want the right for my choice. I want the right for what is good for my body or my this or my that. That focus of self-centeredness has got to stop. And we need to start focusing outward into the beauty of creation that God has given us in every human being. From the moment of conception, a human being is growing into the first step of eventual sainthood. Think about that. Each and every one of us conceived in the womb will be born, hopefully. If that soul sadly is separated from that baby in the womb because of abortion, what chance do they have to choose a life with God? It's a lot to go into. We're going to be going shortly to a break here. There's some beautiful things that you're going to hear during the break. And when we come back, we have so much more to share. We're going to hear from Jesse Manabusin, Another Song of Mine, and one from Tori Harris Gray. So don't go anywhere. We're going to go to a break and come right back.
The month of August is dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother of pure love and gentle mercy, in this month dedicated to you, we place our hearts within yours. Teach us to love Jesus with the same faithfulness and tenderness you showed. Guide our thoughts toward peace, our words toward kindness, and our actions toward charity. Protect our families and all who are in need. Bring comfort to the sorrowful, strength to the weary, and hope to those who have lost their way. O Mother, lead us even closer to your Son, so that our lives may reflect his light, and our souls may rest in his peace. Amen.
Do you love your Catholic faith and desire to continue learning? Would you like to do so in a live, interactive online environment with trusted instructors and classes designed for beginners? If so, please visit grnonline.com/academy and see the 7 classes offered through GRN Academy beginning the week of September 21st, including Monsignor Charles Pope's class called Hold Firm to the End, a biblical study of the letter to the Hebrews, on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central. That's grnonline.com/academy.
Welcome back to We Sing Our Faith. As we said, YouTube is a great way to watch us if you're watching online. And be sure to like and to subscribe so that you get the show and so much more wonderful content from the Guadalupe Radio Network. As we continue along today with this idea of that sin is not canceled by social acceptance, that just because a group of people say something is okay doesn't make it okay when it comes to the beautiful, the beautiful invitation from our Lord to draw close to him, to desire lives of holiness instead of desiring those things that turn us away from the beauty of his holiness. And I want to continue down that list a little bit of those things that popped up when I asked AI, what are those socially acceptable things? One of them came up with pride and self-centeredness, vanity and excessive self-promotion. Boy, if I don't get 5,000 likes on my Facebook post, there must be something wrong with people, right? Refusing to forgive. Ouch. I have to admit, I struggle with that one. When I feel like someone's done something really bad to me, it's hard to forgive. But you know what? When you do, ooh, the beauty that comes out of it. Envy of others' success, holding grudges or seeking revenge. Those are all ones that popped up that have become very much the norm. Religious life, missing Mass on Sunday or Holy Day Mass without a serious reason, taking God's name in vain, indifference toward God, practicing superstition or occult activities, receiving the Eucharist while conscious of unconfessed mortal sin. This weekend, we're at a fresh start. We have such a beautiful opportunity this weekend, if you've been guilty of any of these things, to say, maybe you've missed Mass, maybe there's a mortal sin that needs confessed. Find the confession schedule right now in the Catholic Church nearest to you and go to that beautiful healing sacrament of forgiveness and love, drawing back into the beautiful arms of our God through that wonderful action of redemption offered us by Jesus Christ, our Savior. and then to receive the beauty of the Eucharist, but we are sustained. We are filled with such a grace in the Eucharist that we are able to then be strong, like those seven sons who said, I'd rather die than go against the teachings of God. When we can realize that we need to become less in what we want and more of what God wants for us, we're going to find that true joy. We are going to find it. And then no matter what you are facing, you're going to realize that there is something bigger than yourself, bigger than ourselves, that we can lean into and love, and that is God. Tori Harris Gray, a wonderful woman of faith. She has written so many beautiful things on how we invite the Holy Spirit into our life and live the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one of the songs that she has written is perfect for today, especially along these lines of saying there needs to be less of what Julie wants and more of what God wants for Julie in this life. And her song is simply entitled, Less of Me.
Lord, here I stand. Here are my hands. They're fragile and they're small and they're empty, but I give them all to you. Lord, here I find. Here is my mind, oh, it's ignorant, it's dim, and it's prideful, but I give it all to you. May there be less of me.
this beautiful woman of faith, Tori Harris Gray. Thank you so much. What a beautiful song. And I want to, before we go any further in the second half, I want to share with you the prayer that I shared yesterday morning on Morning Joy. Because again, when we bring up these types of topics, you know, it's kind of like pulling the Band-Aid off of things, and then we need to let them heal. And for those of you who are listening, if I've touched on something that has opened up a wound, I want to ask your forgiveness on that, because I know they're tough things that we go through. And it is only the grace of our Heavenly Father that we can move forward in a sense of healing, and also in the sense of encouraging one another. And so this was the prayer that I shared yesterday. I want to share it for all of us today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, you are the source of all truth, goodness, mercy, and love. Open our hearts to receive your wisdom with humility and courage. Help us not to be shaped by the changing opinions of the world, but to be transformed by your eternal truth. Give us the grace to seek your will above our own desires, and to trust that your commandments are given for our good. Lord, we pray for our families, our communities, and our nation. Where there is confusion, bring clarity. Where there is fear, bring hope. Where there is woundedness, bring healing. Turn our hearts back to you so that we may cherish the dignity of every human life, from conception to natural death, and recognize each person is made in your image and worthy of love and respect. Grant us the courage to live faithfully according to your design for love, marriage, family, and human flourishing. Strengthen those who strive to honor the sacrament of marriage. Encourage those who are searching for you, and gently call back those who have wandered away from your ways. May we never confuse popularity with truth, but always seek what is good, holy, and pleasing to you. Keep us from pride, self-righteousness, and harsh judgment. Remind us that we are all sinners in need of your mercy. Teach us to speak the truth with compassion, to witness with humility, and to love others as Christ has loved us. May our words and actions reflect both your justice and your mercy, inviting others to encounter your grace. Holy Spirit, renew the face of the earth. Awaken in every heart a hunger for what is true, beautiful, and good. Help us to reject whatever leads us away from you, and to embrace the freedom that comes from living according to your will. Lord Jesus, let our lives be a light that points others to you. May we never grow weary of praying, loving, forgiving, and trusting in your promises. Bring revival to our homes, our churches, and our world, so that all people may come to know your saving love and walk in the fullness of your truth. We ask all of this in the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's such a beauty in living in truth. One of the other things that came up on the list, and I'm going to just say this as the last part of it, is the acceptance of same-sex marriage, the acceptance of same-sex relationships, when they go directly against what God has offered to us when he made us male, female, when he gave us the beauty of marriage that is open to procreation, open to life, open to cooperating with the Creator in the creation of new life, male and female. And our world has been so blatantly against that moral teaching as the truth. It was just a few years ago that I had the ability to sit down with a couple of young women. And they both were very strong in their opinion of what they were doing in a same-sex relationship was right. And they wanted to kind of debate me on that. And I said, let's sit down and talk. We don't need to debate. Let's have a conversation. And in that conversation, I found that both of these women had been hurt previously. And each of them had been hurt by a man. The one young woman had a son with her previous relationship person, with her boyfriend, and she was abused. And she felt that if she was in a relationship with a woman, that somehow she would be protected, that she wouldn't be hurt, that she wouldn't have to face that kind of pain again. And in just a conversation, both of these women realized that what they were seeking was not a godly thing, but a safe thing. And once they both realized that when they turned to God and lived according to his will, they found a surety and eventually safe, proper, good relationships. And that's the kind of thing that when we share our heart with truth, but with charity, we can help people come to an understanding and draw them back into the beauty of living lives within the commandments of God that draw us into a deeper real love, a deeper real life. And so that's going to take us to our next song. This is one that I wrote many years ago, actually for my brother. And he was in a time of questioning and saying, Lord, how do I let go of stuff that I want to do and just let myself be led by you? And when I had finished writing the song, I have to be honest, it was actually one of those that I had a hard time singing because it poked at my own psyche a little bit, because I want to be in control. And I realized that when I can let go and let God be God, life becomes so much more peaceful and it becomes so much more productive. Like the things that we do make a difference. And so I want to go to that song now. It is from me, your host, Julie Carrick, Let Go and Let God.
Let him take away the things that cause confusion. Let his spirit be the light that leads you to the place.
You know.
that cause confusion. Let His Spirit be the light that leads you to the place where He will work through you. Let go and let go.
Yeah. Boy, learning how to let go and let God. I want to do a shout out right now to Lydia, who's watching on YouTube. Lydia, thank you so much for your question. How do you get someone to open up about their fault when we have accepted our own in marriage? You know, that is exactly one of the things that Kurt and I had to kind of go through. The way that I was able to eventually ask him to open up was to just stay in the conversation, and to admit my own to him first, to say this part of what we've dealt with has been on me. I've got to own that. And then once we are able to say, I own my part in this, it's amazing how that helps kind of open up that door a little bit. I hope that will work for you. And then taking time to pray. Taking time to pray together is huge. I love the fact that you mentioned the book on the shelf. I've got three books. One of them, the first is called Unfailing Grace, and that one really tells our life story. So that is it's really a good tool, actually, Unfailing Grace, to help people in relationship things to go deeper with each other and to work past some of the brokenness and some healing that needs to happen. And then the other two books are Savior and Sustenance, which is a powerful book on the Eucharist. And the last one is called Incense and Intercession. And that is a great book to help us go deeper into our prayer life. So, Lydia, thank you for mentioning that, too, and for helping us to share that with our friends on YouTube and listening on the GRN network around the country. We've got just a little bit of time left today, and I want to kind of finish up with, before we go to Jesse Manabusin and his song, How We Talk About It, I want to just kind of bring us into a beautiful focus on that. There are so many things that we all know are right with the world. There are also many, many things that we know that are wrong happening in our world around us. When we see those things happening, we can and should be a voice. No differently than if you're standing at the crosswalk, right? You're waiting to cross the street. The light turns green for you to walk. But as you see, there's a truck coming and it's going to blow that intersection. And someone steps forward. Wouldn't we grab them and pull them out of harm's way? That's what we're talking about on a show like today, where the world is saying it's okay to do all of these things that go against God's teaching. It's like letting that soul walk into the crosswalk that's going to take it out. And when we can be honest and charitable as we do so with people to say, yeah, the world is accepting it, but God doesn't. How do we help them step out of that harm's way? We can't just stand by and let it happen. We can't just talk about it. There needs to be action on our part. And so the song that's going to take us to the top of the hour was written by Jesse Manabusin. And it's the perfect title to end our program today with the music aspect of it. It's simply entitled, How We Talk About It.
We can sing of the love of Christ. We can celebrate God's glory. We can worship and adore till the moon be no more. We can sing of the joy of Christ. We can praise and tell His story. But it's all for naught if we haven't got a love that invites those without an invitation, a love that welcomes those who are unwelcomed, a love that's so prophetic, regardless of the prophet. A love that lives in our actions, not just how we talk about it. Not just how we talk about it. We can study the Word of God. We can preach with bold conviction. Passion growing ever strong in our spirit and our song. We can cherish the heavenly truths, sharing with each generation. But it's all for naught if we haven't got a love that invites those without an invitation. A love that welcomes those who are unwelcome. A love that's so prophetic, regardless of the prophet. A love that lives in our actions, not just how we talk about it. There's a precedent, a point made well, when the Word became flesh to dwell. To give, to live, sacrifice, forgive. There's a hope when our faith is full, of the Savior's bold compassion, reaching out to all in need, treating all with dignity. So we pray with a joyful heart, so we sing in celebration, and we praise our God for what we've got. It's a love that invites those without an invitation. Regardless of the prophet, a love that lives in our actions, that's just how we talk about it.
Jesse, so much for your beautiful work. And thank you to everyone who took the time today to listen, both here on the network, as well as those watching on YouTube. And remember, on YouTube, if you're watching and participating in this way, be sure to subscribe and like, because it allows us to get more and more content to you through the Guadalupe Radio Network. We've got a lot more to come after this show with the spirit world. And so you want to stay tuned for their open forum show. You'll be able to call in there. And remember, for all of the information about our artists, please visit WeSingOurFaith.org. WeSingOurFaith.org. That is the website, and all of the links are there for the artists and also my ministry. I'd love to come to your parish. And now, until next week, may God bless you and keep you. Stay tuned for the spirit world and get ready to call in for that show. God bless you.
Your connection to our treasured Catholic faith, all day, every day. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
Are you worried you might not know enough about your Catholic faith? Come join the GRN Academy. I'm Diana Varghese from the show team at the Guadalupe Radio Network, and I invite you to dive deep into our faith this fall with Catholic Radio's best instructors like Dr. Ray Guarendi, Monsignor Charles Pope, Debbie Giorgiani, Julie Carrick, and more. dive into course topics like raising kids right, building virtue, and having the best relationship with your guardian angel. GRN Academy courses are welcoming to all, interactive and practical. Learn more and sign up now before courses start on Monday, September 21st. Go to grnonline.com/academy. That's grnonline.com/academy.
You can turn your unused vehicle into a tax-deductible donation to the Guadalupe Radio Network. It's a lot simpler than you might think, too. Just call 1-866-628-2277 or come by grnonline.com and click Donate Now. One of our representatives will gladly walk you through the process, even arrange pickup. Later model cars or trucks are greatly appreciated. Just call 1-866-628-2277 or come by grnonline.com and click Donate Now.
I was raised a Catholic and went to church every Sunday faithfully. I met a boy and he was non-Catholic, so I left the church to be with him. When I was away from church, I yearned to be home. What brought me back was my longing for the Eucharist. The Eucharist fills me with a spirit that you can't find anywhere else. I have a peace when I walk through the doors of the Catholic Church, like that's where I belong.
We invite you to take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders from EWTN's Call to Communion. I believe that the ministry of Catholic radio is one of the greatest tools we have in the church for evangelism today. I hear from people all over the world on a daily basis who have encountered Christ in the Catholic Church for the first time by listening to Catholic radio. Please support the ministry of Catholic radio today. Support Guadalupe Radio Network.